You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Mets. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. Well, Monday brought another dramatic game for the New York Mets. They found a way to get a win against their division rival, the Atlanta Braves, but it came at a cost. Taijuan Walker left the game early with an injury to his side, and Kevin Pillar had one of the most gruesome injuries you'll ever see as he got hit in the face by a 95-mile-per-hour fastball. Hopefully, he's doing okay. But that definitely put a damper note on everything that happened on Monday night. On today's show, in the first segment, I'm going to talk about that game. In the second segment, I want to talk about what the Mets can do right now to try to make do with the guys that they have, and talk about some of the pie-in-the-sky trade candidates I'd love to see the Mets target. And finally, in the third segment, I'll give you some more realistic candidates the Mets could target on the trade market as that injury list continues to pile up with names. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. Now, this game was a pitcher's duel early on between Taijuan Walker and Max Fried. Walker allowed just one hit through three innings, but as I said, he exited early with what they called left side tightness. After the game, Walker did not seem overly concerned about the injury, said he's been dealing with it for a few weeks now, but it just hasn't gone away. He will get an MRI, but he is not too concerned about that, so fingers crossed Walker can remain with the club. They cannot lose another pitcher when Seth Lugo was just moved to the 60-day injured list to make room for Jonathan Vargas to play in this game, which now means that he's on the same timeline as Carlos Carrasco, Noah Syndergaard. These guys are trying to make it back, but that's not going to happen until the end of this month at the earliest. So the Mets need Walker. But in the meantime, Sean Reed Foley is continuing to make a strong case to get more time. Comes into this game and was excellent. Three perfect innings with five strikeouts. The second time this year, he's come into a game and thrown three perfect innings. His Mets debut, he did just that against the Cardinals. This year, Reed Foley has a 0.96 ERA. He has been one of the bright spots coming out of that bullpen so far this year. In the top of the seventh inning, the score was still tied up at no runs apiece. But Tomas Nito set out to change that, ripping a leadoff double. He actually had three hits in this game. He's been very solid offensively this year. He's 8 for 30, good for a .267 batting average. His on-base percentage is .353 as he's been hit by a few pitches and has drawn a couple of walks. He has a double, a triple, and a home run, so he's slugging .467 so far. He's definitely been the better of the Mets' two catchers so far this year, but James McCann actually came through tonight with a pinch hit double, lining one past third baseman Austin Riley into left field, which brought home Nito. The Mets were able to continue a rally in that inning as Vargas bunted McCann over to third. Francisco Lindor drew a walk and then stole second. Pete Alonso struck out, and then this is where the game got interesting. The Braves chose to intentionally walk Dominic Smith to load the bases to face Kevin Pillar. Prior to that at bat, Pillar was 1-for-3 in this game. He's batting .315 with a .351 on base percentage and a 519 slugging percentage in May. You can make the argument, quite honestly, that Pilar has been the Mets' best player this month. He's been great defensively in the outfield, and he's been consistent offensively, which is what made this injury so devastating and just awful to watch as Pilar gets hit in the face and immediately is just gushing blood. Just the worst thing you can see on a baseball field is someone gets hit in the head. I mean, it's the worst thing. And to see it happen, to see the flush contact, no helmet, the ball just hit him square in the face, I'm still trying to get over that image. I think a lot of people are. And I do have to say, I mean, that dude is so freaking tough. To get off the field on his own power is just ridiculous. I would have been crying in the fetal position if that happened to me. I can't even imagine it. Hopefully, it's just a broken nose. I think that's probably your best case scenario. Hopefully, his eyes are okay. His head is okay. I mean, it's just right now, as I'm recording this, we don't know anything other than the fact that he's at the hospital getting a CT scan. And just thoughts and prayers are with him that he's okay and that he can be healthy just in general and get back in the lineup soon, because he has just been an unbelievable asset to this team so far. And it is just awful that anyone goes down with this injury, but particularly someone who's been so important to the Mets. It's just another blow to this team that they have to get over. And now you're going to be counting on guys like Jonathan Vargas and Cleo Lee and these guys that are going to have to step up. It's just going to be rough if they lose Pilar for a significant amount of time. But you go back to this game in the eighth inning, the Mets were able to score again. Tomas Nito got another hit, advanced the second on a pass ball. Eventually, he scores on a bloop hit by Vargas, who got a double, but really Ronald Acuna played it pretty bad out in right field. That gave the Mets their third run. The pitching was good at the end of this game as well. Jeurys Familia looked awesome in the seventh. Edwin Diaz locked it down in the ninth. Trevor May did struggle a bit in the eighth, gave up a home run and a double, but worked his way through that inning. And the Mets came away winners, and right now they are three games up on the Atlanta Braves. They both have 19 wins, but the Mets are six games ahead in the loss column. That is an incredible accomplishment for this team that is just trying to stay afloat right now. And I'm going to talk about what they can maybe do in the meantime with this current roster to continue to win. And I'll also talk about some pie-in-the-sky trade candidates that I want the Mets to go after that can help them not only in the short term but in the long term. So we'll go through all of that in just a minute. Investing can be complicated whether you're a beginner or if you've been investing for years, but Wealthfront makes it easy. They can create a portfolio of globally diversified low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on the preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest, and best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. You can grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to get started today. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can use for other important things like your mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same amount of parts at a chain store or new car dealership when you can just go to rockauto.com, a family business that's been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you can want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and then choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or a truck, and make sure you write "Locked On" in there. How'd you hear about us, Box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Tonight, the Mets starting lineup had a murderer's row of Kevin Pillar, Jonathan Villar, and Jose Peraza. And the cleanup hitter may be gone now, with Pillar potentially heading to the IL or at least being out of the lineup for the next couple of days. So you're going to see lineups that include the likes of Peraza, Villar, Fargas, maybe even Khalil Lee. Guys that you would not expect to be starting every day. So how are the Mets going to get by right now until they get J.D. Davis back and Brandon Nimmo back, and hopefully eventually you'll get guys like Pillar and McNeil and Conforto? It's going to be tough. But what this team does have right now with these guys getting plugged in is they have a hell of a lot of speed. I mean, Khalil Lee and Fargas are blazingly quick and steal a ton of bases. We know what VR can do in that department. Jose Peraza even has 320 stolen base seasons in his career. The Mets have to rely on their speed, defense, and pitching to play small ball and just find their way to get these wins. They got a great bullpen right now. They can close out these close games, and you just got to get by and play as close to 500 as possible until the reinforcements come back. And right now, as they're still in first place in this division, I mean, that could be enough to stay, if not in first, within striking distance of a team like the Phillies, who is right now maybe the best suited right now to compete in this division. I mean, the Braves, you would think, would be another competitive team, but they just haven't been. So the Mets have an opportunity to continue to get by, and it's going to be winning in the margins, and it's defense, it's speed, it's all these things that can help you. Speaking of Jose Peraza, he has played an outstanding second base for the Mets. I can't even count how many line drives he's snared, and he's just been awesome out there. VR has been pretty decent at third this year, better than I would have thought. I don't think he's a great defender at third base, but he's been okay, and he's obviously giving you more than a lot of these guys are going to offensively, but this is a team that just has to scratch together some stuff unless they swing a big blockbuster trade. So I wanted to talk about three names that I don't think the Mets will go for, because these are more candidates that you would see traded at the deadline as teams are looking to maximize their value. But I just wanted to bring these guys up. And the first one, I'm not going to spend too much time talking about because I've done it time and again. But Chris Bryant is still the dream out there. I mean, a 138 WRC plus for his career. And that stat, weighted runs created plus, is basically a measurement of a hitter's value based on a league average of 100. So 138 is outstanding this year. His WRC plus is 175. So that just shows you how dominant he has been. Has an OPS well over 1,000. Has hit 10 home runs. Chris Bryant would be the type of guy you could plug right into the 3 or the 4 hole of this lineup, and he could carry you for a couple of weeks. So that's the dream. Don't know if the Mets will do that. Another guy that was brought out to me by Thomas Hall, another writer for Metsmerize, is Joey Gallo. And there is some thought that he will get moved this year because he's down to his final 2 years of team control. The Rangers may look to cash in that asset. This is a guy who won a gold glove last year, can play all three positions in the outfield, can play first base, can play third base. That versatility would be huge for the Mets right now as they're trying to deal with these injuries. He has a big power bat, but he might be a little bit too boom or bust for my taste. You know, his career on base percentage is .329. Not bad, but certainly not great. His batting average for his career is .210, which doesn't matter, but it does show you his, you know, boom or bust profile. He's either hitting home runs, drawing walks, or striking out generally. He might be the epitome of the three true outcomes, you know, more than any other hitter in baseball. But his career, .819 OPS, his career, .112 WRC+, it tells you that generally he's an above average offensive performer who brings versatility and, you know, a lot of star power and athleticism. He's a guy that would certainly get fans excited. I'm sure of that much. Just don't know if he's going to be worth what it would take to acquire him. The third guy that fits into this category for me is Whit Merrifield, another guy who's a former All-Star. His best positions are second base and center field, but he can certainly play third, left, and right if you need him to. career 108 WRC plus, so slightly above league average. He is an absolute terror on the base pass, 131 career stolen bases, has led the AL in steals twice, has also led the AL in hits twice. And when it comes to stolen bases, for his career, he has a success rate of 79%, which is pretty solid. This year, he has made it safely in 12 of his 13 attempts. He's batting .261 with a .326 on base percentage and a .405 slugging percentage. Good for a .731 OPS. So not off to the best of starts, but he's still been a fairly solid contributor. A guy who's been stuck in Kansas City for all their down years. I'm sure he would really present his best self playing for a contender for the first time. Also a guy who got a late start, so he's already in his 30s. Probably wants a chance to play for a winning team. Has been frustrated in the past being out in Kansas City and being stuck on a pretty team-friendly contract. So we'll see if that's a guy they look to move. The Royals are 18-22 this year. They've been 2-13, though, in their last 15 games. So it's really fallen apart for them. Got to imagine they're going to look to be sellers this year. So maybe Merrifield finally gets moved, although it seems like he's been on the block for 3 or 4 seasons. And since I'm on the topic of the Royals, I also want to bring up Jorge Soler, a guy who has only really had one good year in his career in 2019, but he was awesome that year. He had 48 home runs, hit 21 home runs at Kauffman Stadium. And I've been lucky to go to a lot of ballparks in my lifetime, and I gotta say, Kauffman Stadium might be the most daunting pitcher's ballpark I have ever seen. I have no idea how you hit home runs in that ballpark. So the fact that he hit 21 home runs at Kauffman in 2019, that's an incredible achievement that speaks to his raw power. But he's a guy throughout his career, like I said, has mostly been a below average player. So I don't imagine it would take a ton to acquire Soler. He's about to hit free agency. So maybe that's a guy you can take a flyer on, plug into your lineup, have him play some right field until Conforto comes back. Might be a good option for the Mets. Another right-handed power bat that can fill in that role that maybe Jose Martinez was going to have for the Mets this year. In just a minute, though, I want to talk about some more realistic trade candidates, guys the Mets might be able to acquire right now without having to give up too much. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. The NBA and the NHL playoffs are going on right now, so if you want to get in the action on that, or of course with Major League Baseball, check out BetOnline. They even cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the new scores and odds. Is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, with so many amazing flavors to choose from, including my personal favorite, the Cookies and Cream Bar. Built Bars really are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. That's the best part. They come low in calories, low in sugar, but they are high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. When looking for realistic trade candidates the Mets can target, you're obviously looking at some bad teams that would be willing to deal now instead of trying to see if they'll be competitive by the time that trade deadline rolls around. And so the Rangers are an interesting team to look at, and I want to shout out Mets Weekly Media on Twitter for suggesting this as an option for the Mets. But Adolis Garcia is off to a great start this year with the Rangers. He is the brother of former Braves third baseman Adonis Garcia. Hadn't really caught on at the MLB level until now. In fact, he actually got DFA'd by the Rangers as recently as spring training, but was recalled and added to the roster on April 13th and has been red hot this year. He has 11 home runs in 33 games. He's hitting 296 with a 341 on base percentage, a 592 slugging percentage. He's a 28-year-old Cuban outfielder. But here is the one problem I have in trading for Garcia. His value is at an all-time high right now. And so I wonder what the Rangers would ask for in return for this guy, because he's not arbitration eligible until 2024, under team control through 2026. He might not be a guy they're looking to move, so we'll have to see about that one. I do believe a player that they would absolutely move is Charlie Culberson, who is nothing special, to be honest with you, but he's a guy you could get without giving up much of anything, and he could really help the Mets right now. He's a major league player, a major league utility player. So when you're looking at guys like Jake Hager, Khalil Lee, Joshui Fargas, Culberson's an upgrade. And this year he's hitting 273. He has a 319 on base percentage, which is not great. His slugging percentage is 443. Gives him a 762 OPS. I mean, he's league average, right? But he can play every position but center field. And again, the cost of acquisition is what's intriguing about Culberson, because he's just basically a depth piece that you might be able to pry from the Rangers for an 18-year-old that you might not ever expect to amount to anything. You know, just a flyer prospect that the Rangers would take, and you would get a veteran that can maybe help you. So I think that's a guy the Mets could target. The Rangers this year are 19-24. They're a team that I think would be open to trade with the Mets. They're also a team that has traded with the Mets a lot, although that was under the Brody Van Wagenen regime. The Detroit Tigers are 14-26 this year, in the middle of a rebuild. So Robbie Grossman is an interesting name, a corner outfielder with a career 105 WRC plus. So he's been slightly above league average throughout his career. But last year, his WRC plus is 126. This year, it's 127. He's having some really nice moments at the plate. He's a switch hitter, draws a lot of walks, gets on base a ton. Little bit of pop, little bit of speed. Has stolen 8 bases this year. He signed a 2-year, $10 million deal to play with Detroit, and he wanted to play every day, so I don't know how much he'd be happy with a trade to a team where he'd have to play more of a bench role eventually. But right now, he could start for the Mets and help them while they wait for Michael Conforto to come back. That's definitely somebody to watch. Another team the Mets could trade with is Arizona. They're it's just a terrible division to try to compete right now, with the Giants off to this surprising fast start, and the Dodgers and the Padres, who are supposed to be the two juggernauts of the National League, all packed into that division. They're 18-23. They got to be in sell mode. I would say get our old friend Asdrubal Cabrera, who's off to a really nice start offensively, but he just strained his hamstring. And we know what it is when Droobs has those injuries to his legs. I mean, that can linger all year long. So he's definitely not someone the Mets want to fill in for injured players, as he's injured himself. But Eduardo Escobar is a guy the Mets could target. Has some pop in his bat. 9 home runs this year. In 2019, his last full season, hit 35 bombs with 118 RBIs. His WRC plus on the season is only at 89. So he's been below average. His on-base percentage at 265 also tells you exactly what he's been. Not a great offensive player this season, other than the home runs. But because of that, might not cost a ton to acquire him. A guy that can play all over the infield. Considering the fact that the Mets have Peraza, they have VR, they have Guillorme, who should be back eventually, I don't know if I would necessarily think this is the best target for the Mets. I think their concerns more lie in the outfield. But he's a name worth mentioning, so I brought him up. The real prize of this entire exercise for me, the guy that I want more than maybe anybody, outside of course like Chris Bryant, it's David Peralta. This is the guy for me. Won a Silver Slugger in 2018, a season where he hit 293 with a 352 on base percentage and a 516 slugging percentage. Had 60 extra base hits that year with 30 home runs, 25 doubles, and 5 triples. His WRC plus was 130. For his career, his WRC plus is 115. So he's been above average every single year. with the Diamondbacks, a guy that just has kind of seen his career not recognized as much as it probably should have been because he's played in Arizona without a lot of coverage. But he did win that Silver Slugger in 2018. He won a Gold Glove in 2019. This year, he's hitting .273 with a .333 on base percentage and a .476 slugging percentage. Has 7 doubles, 5 triples, and 4 home runs. His career on base percentage is .345, which again tells me this is a professional hitter that's going to give you above average production. And you pair that with a cannon of an arm out in the outfield. This year, he is in the 63rd percentile when it comes to outs above average. So he's still playing in above average left field at 33 years old. Can probably still play right as well. He spent his entire career in Arizona. So that might be a sticking point. I don't know how important he is. I'm sure he is very important to their franchise, but I don't know how willing they would be to part with a guy like that. As I already mentioned, he's at 33 years old. Maybe they would want to do him a favor and trade him to a contender, which could help the Mets in this case. He's owed $7.5 million this year, $7.5 million next year. That contract is affordable for the Mets and doesn't necessarily fit a window for him to contend with the Diamondbacks, which leads more credence to the idea that maybe they would do him a favor and trade him to the Mets if they brought that opportunity to him and he wanted to play a role on a team that has championship aspirations. So this is something that makes a lot of sense to me. You might have to give up a prospect, like, just to throw a name out there, Carlos Cortez, who's the Mets' number 19 prospect, a second baseman that has some upside, but wouldn't be a guy that would hurt you too much to move. I'm just thinking someone, not a top 10 guy, not a top 15 guy, but a player that the Diamondbacks could sell to their fan base as someone that at least has some hope to be a contributor to their ball club at some point. Not like a throwaway. They got nothing back for a guy that's been so important to them in Peralta. This is a trade that would make a lot of sense to me. You would get somebody who could fill in for Michael Conforto right now. He would probably bat cleanup for this current Mets team. And even when the Mets got everybody back, he would be an outstanding fourth outfielder for this team when everyone's healthy, if everyone's hitting. I mean, he might just replace Dominic Smith out in left field, quite honestly. That would probably be the best version of this team if you eventually got to a point where everyone was healthy. You had Peralta in left, Nimmo in center, and Conforto in right. You'd actually have a somewhat solid defensive outfield with all of them being above average hitters. I would really like a David Peralta trade. So that is, at this point, the move I want to see the Mets make. I'm not sure if he's on the market, but I would certainly be making phone calls to Arizona about David Peralta. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. If you want to get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes, check out the Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.